Well, we did cover a lot of subjects in the trainings. Let's, I would say, from A to Z, everything about Afghanistan. But I think the most important things that right now I have in mind that we taught the Canadian soldiers before deploying to Afghanistan was like the history of Afghanistan, because it's a very complicated history. And if those soldiers who have never been to Afghanistan, they get landed in Afghanistan and then they struggle, you know, with the country, you know, being affected by the war and destroyed and ruined, you know, a lot of people right away can get pessimistic by looking just to the country, you know, how it has been destroyed, and they can get exhausted, and they would say they get you know, hopeless, and they say, oh, why am I here, you know, what's my mission, you know, do people believe that I will make a difference in 1 year or 2 years? So in that way, for us, it was very, very important to teach them about the history, you know, that what Afghans have been through and what Afghanistan is really about, you know, because we are very, very an ancient country. We have the history of 5,000 of years. We always say I'm an Afghan for 20 years. I'm a Pashtun for 20 years because that's my age, but I've been an Afghan for 5,000 years. That's what people most of the time say when they try to explain the history of Afghanistan to others. So it's very, we have a very complicated history. We had very few years of a good life or a golden ages when we were not occupied or where we had a peaceful life. So history was one of the biggest thing that we taught the Canadian soldier to know Afghanistan better. We taught them about women's rights in the country and the interaction between men and the women, you know, because that has to be taken as a serious thing in that country, because there are a lot of restriction culturally that would create troubles for the soldiers if they're not careful or if they don't know how to interact with women in that country. And also at the same time created problems for women in that country. So women's rights were one of the biggest things. We taught them about the rule of law and the justice system, how it works. We taught them about Islam, because that's very, very significant. You know, you really can't joke about the religious issues. You really can't do things that the Afghan can get an idea that you're not respectful toward the religion. And most of the time we give them the example of the attack of green on blue. And that's that. By that we meant when in the Afghan forces, you know, the soldiers getting up and shooting at an American soldier while doing training. So yeah, most of the time, you know, we saw that they had, you know, kind of people from the Taliban in the army, and they shot them, you know, and wanted to kill the soldier. But sometimes it can be cultural misunderstanding as well, you know, not respectful toward Islam, not respectful toward the culture. So we always make sure, you know, that they get the best of everything in these trainings. So when they get to the country, they're not shocked, they're not confused, and they know how to deal in certain situations. We also taught them the local languages. In Kabul, most people speak Dari, but you know, Dari is understood by 95% of people in Afghanistan. And we always told them it's better to say salam, you know, instead of hello to the Afghan people, because then they see you as a different person, because they see that you are interested in their language, you are interested in their culture. You know, you treat them the way they want to be treated. So that was like kind of a language thing. We taught them about the governance, how it works. We taught them how it can be productive working with your interpreters, because interpreters have a really important role there, because they are your eyes and ears, you know. And you will have to be very careful how to treat your interpreters, you know, and how to manage his expectation or your expectation from, you know, from each other's. Because most of the time we referred that if any soldier will do a great job, it all depends on his relationship with the interpreter and the counterpart. Because if you have two good relationship with your interpreter and with your counterpart, that's very, very significant in achieving your goal or mission, or, you know, getting your job done in that country. So we thought all these things to the soldiers, and of course a lot of the soldiers were happy, and they did say that most of them who've been to Afghanistan in 2002 and, you know, all the way 2007 and 8 and 9, and then of course they had some culture shocks, you know, they shared their own experiences with us, or if they were confused about something, you know, they asked us. So it was like kind of really, I think, a really great training, and I think one of my most favorite job in Canada, because I get to travel a lot. And of course I was working for the military again, because to me, like, maybe it's because I've grown up with the Canadian military more in the age of 15. So that's why to me, Canada is all about military, you know. Like, I would love to work with the military and the DND. So to me, that was really, really kind of a great job to get into my field again and meet some of my colleagues again and see the soldiers going to Afghanistan and trying to help. And and most of them were some of them got in touch, you know, got kept the contacts with us, and they said sometime if we really need advice, we will let you know on email and stuff. So I made a lot of friends in the military, and most of the time, you know, we asked them about their experiences, and they were having such a good time there. You know, sometimes if they were confused about something, they would ask, "Hey, Mariam, you know, how can we do this and how can we do that? It's a culture thing and this and that." And then we give them advice, you know, and then let us say, "Okay, well done, you know, I dealt with." So that was really kind of important, because we were there as a subject matter expert, there was this friendly environment, you know, an environment where your student felt easy with you asking questions, and where you, as an SME or as a trainer, you felt easier with them answering their questions in an honest way. And one of the, I think, the amazing thing, I would say, or surprising thing to me, was like a lot of soldiers, when they heard about, because I was the, I was not the only female. There were 2-3 other female as well in the training, but they lived in Canada for 40 and 50 years. And where I was recent from the Afghanistan, you know, it's like I came in 2011. And most of the time, the facilitators that we had in the trainings, they would introduce the SME, you know, like tomorrow, if I was going to a military class, a facilitator would told the soldiers, okay, tomorrow this is an Afghan girl coming. She's from Kandahar. She worked with the military. She came to Canada in 2011. So you guys just picture how she's going to be. So, of course, most of the soldier pictured me in, you know, in wearing a scarf and, you know, being very reserved, and some that those who knew me how I was. But most of the time, you know, they pictured me in a scarf or in burqa, you know, being very shy and not being open, you know, and they have to be very respectful and have to be very serious. So that was like really kind of a cool picture that whenever I got into the class, and then the facilitator would like told me, okay, Mariam, I gave them a task yesterday, and let's hear the response or what they thought of you. So that there was like kind of so many funny answers, you know, mm-hmm. And that was really cool. And then that also showed them a difference, you know, that you know, there are different women in that country. It's true, it's still very male dominant society, but that's men that are trying to prevent women from getting ahead or from moving forward. And a country will only move forward when it's give an equal participation to a woman in the society, or give the equal rights to women. Without that, you know, a country will never ever develop if you ignore the half part of your population, which is women. So I always told them the story about when I got a job with the CIMIC, the Canadian Military Cooperation Unit. I was all covered, and of course I was wearing all the black hijab and burqa. And when I got to the office on first day, nobody greeted me, especially men, the Canadian male soldier. Like, I had these two women, they stood up and they shook hand, and another hugged me. But male, all of them were looking down and working on their computers. And I said, okay, you know, maybe it's first day, that's why, you know, they did not greet me. So the next day when I went, like after two weeks, again everybody treated me same way, you know, like everybody working on their computer and this and that. But I, as a person, since I was a different, like there are a lot of women who would like that, you know, that okay, men are respectful toward them if they don't talk to her, you know.
Right.
But I, as a woman or a younger generation of that country, I did not see that as a sign of respect. I see that as a sign of insult. So what I did, I said, okay, you know what? If the Canadian male soldier is going to treat me again like this, I'm going to talk to my supervisor. Because I was thinking in my head that they don't like me, okay? Or they have a problem with me. That's what I was thinking. And I went the third day, and again, everybody treated me the same way. And I look at to my supervisor. Her name was Charlotte. I said, Charlotte, can I ask you a question? And she said, yeah, sure, go ahead. I said, every time I come here, nobody say hello to me. I think all these Canadian men are just like Afghan men who don't respect a woman. And this, and she was like, no. That's not to do something with not respecting a woman, but that's what we are taught back home, that we should not initiate a conversation with an Afghan woman unless she initiate it. And it's like, I said, but I'm different. So we don't know that you are different. Okay, I'm gonna tell my colleague and my team that next time when you come, they will have to say hello to you. And I said, yeah, they better say to me, because I was feeling a little bit kind of bad because they don't like me or they don't respect me and stuff. And it's like, then the fourth time when I went, everybody was just like kind of so happy and, you know, high fives and hugs, you know, and stuff. Like, that was really nice. And it's like, and then they said, Mariam, we didn't want to insult you by initiating the conversation with you, because that's what we are taught back home. And so it's nothing to do with not liking you. We are actually impressed that you're here and helping us. And we will now, well, start our joking and, you know, friendly behavior with you. So, you know, because I was training them on women's rights and governance and interpreter part in the history and Islam. Those were my sections that I was training them on that. I always give them this example of different women in Afghanistan. Yes, there will be a lot of women who you're going to come across that would like a man giving a silent treatment to her. But there are also a lot of women, you know, that would see your silent treatment as an insult toward her. So they were laughing. It's like, and then, so, you know, so that was really kind of a great time of working with the military, you know, and then coming here and training them. So a lot of, you know, exciting jobs that I did.
Absolutely. Mariam, how would you say that social media has helped you stay in touch with the military and civilian side? Oftentimes, people use social media such as Facebook, YouTube, Twitter in order to interact and to engage with different people all over the world. So how would you say that social media has been influential in helping you stay connected to various people that you have encountered throughout the years of work that you've done?
Well, to be honest, I had a Facebook for 4 or 5 years, and I recently deactivated because it was taking too much of my time. And you know, I was very, very active. A lot of my friends and I, like, all my Facebook was about political stuff, Afghanistan and politics. So a lot of my friends, like, whenever they were on my Facebook and, you know, and tried to talk to me sometime, and they said, Mariam, your website is very professional, talking about all the times about politics and Afghanistan, you know, and women's rights on this page. You have nothing else to do, you know. And some of my younger friends at university, they say, like, you don't post pictures, you know, yourself that much, but you are all the time about all this political news and stuff. But I said, well, that's what my passion is, you know, and I want to use my Facebook or my social media as a good tool, you know, to make a change or to make awareness. For me, it's better to post an article about one issue or about the current political issues in about Afghanistan, rather than putting a selfie of myself or drinking juice or something like that. You know, it's like I said, to me, that's not an important thing. For me, what's important is to post something that can that people can read it and, you know, can know about what's happening in the country.